Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
John Neuberg has spent over 20 years as a professional coach, helping his clients become the CEO of their own businesses. Prior to that, he was the CEO of a billion-dollar company. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
You know, it was Steve Jobs who says you can only connect the dots going backwards. And I started coaching about 20 years ago, 2004, as a professional coach. And shortly after starting, I had an epiphany and connected some dots and realized, you know, I've always been a coach. Just to share a couple of those dots, I'm the eldest of eight children. So you can imagine you get cast in a certain way, certain role in life. I'm hardwired to be a teacher, and I knew that in high school. But in those days, that meant wearing a Harris tweed coat with elbow patches, and that, you know, kind of bureaucratic style didn't appeal to me very much. And in the early 80s, I learned something called the Socratic method of leadership. So Socrates had the best way to help somebody is to help them work it out for themselves. And of course, that's what the essence of coaching is. And so I've been practicing a coaching style of leadership since then, and then stumbled into coaching as a profession.
And you've enjoyed it, obviously, because you're still doing it.
Yeah, you know, it's when you discover your vocation, you find out that, you know, work's work, but there's a lot of joy in what I do, and it's a pleasure most days. And I tried golfing 5 days a week, and that gets old in a hurry. So having something that, you know, gives life meaning is a good thing.
Yeah, certainly Steve Jobs also said, you know, we're here to put a dent in the universe, you know. There's some kind of variation of that quote.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's what this is for, right? Making a dent somehow.
So talk about on your website how you're helping your clients, the owners of businesses, become the CEO of their organization. That's not obvious. Not everybody is.
You know, I work typically with business owners that are owners of small advisory firms. So they're lawyers, accountants, health practitioners. What we do is provide professional advice. The advice is different, but the business is the same. And I also help owners of trades businesses. So they're electricians and plumbers and HVAC, and they may sound very different, but what they have in common is they've both spent a long time getting certified, becoming professional, 7 years university, 5 years to. And they start, and then they discover shortly that just because they're good at their trade or profession doesn't make them good at business. And that's usually when they find out, oh gosh, I need a business education as well.
Just because I am the best cobbler, baker, contractor does not mean I am cut out to be the CEO of a company.
Exactly. That's the dilemma that people arrive at in some way, and then make an effort to, how can I get some help on this?
And the principles that you work with people on, they map across most every industry.
They do. The So the owners I work with are generally complaining about one or all of time, team, or money. So they're saying things like, I've got too much to do, not enough time to do it. I can't get everything done. Team, it's really hard getting good team members, getting the culture you want, getting people to do work at the standard that you're looking for. And money is both having proper financials, reporting, accounting, a dashboard. And the other side is, I need more money. I want better sales and marketing. And so I generally, when owners are complaining about one of those things, they figure out, you know, I need to get some help with this. And that's when they reach out. There's a framework that I work with. But in essence, what I'm doing is, what often happens to a business owner is they get wrapped around the axle of their business. And so they're almost become a slave to the business. Whereas what I like to say is the purpose of a small business for the kind of owners I work with, the purpose of that business is to give its owner the life they want. Now, of course, you might not say that to your customers, your team, or that kind of thing, but ultimately it's meant to be a vehicle. And so often the reverse of that happens. And so you talked about a framework that sort of fundamental question is, what would have to happen in the business so that you could live the life you want? Let's start with that question.
Which, I mean, there's so much power in a good question talking about the Socratic method. And it's a question that I bet so few people have ever thought about when it's the most important question to ask.
Well, usually, you know, that goes back to the thing about being wrapped around the axle. They're just, you know, in the weeds every day, fending off the next crisis, emergency, burning bush, and they're struggling just to kind of make it all work. And typically something happens in their life where they finally say to themselves, I can't deal with this anymore. I need to get, how do I get some help with this?
Something has to change. Otherwise I will go crazy, close the doors.
Exactly right. If things don't change, nothing will change. And that sounds trite, but it's an accurate observation.
Yeah. And if you desire change, change is required.
Yes. You know, the phrase, when the student is ready, a teacher will appear. Well, that's typically what happens is they decide, you know, I got to get smarter about this.
So the first conversation, it's, and I tried to write it down, but what would it take for your business to tell me the question again, please?
What would have to be true so that your business could serve your life? So the first thing is, what would you like your life to look like? And to give you an example of what I mean by that, often owners are working like 70 hours a week. And if you ask them, well, gosh, what would you like? Well, it'd be great if I could work 30. Well, that'd be fun. What would you do if you got 40 hours back of your life? Well, gee, I'd go to one of my kids' games. Well, that'd be great. Well, hey, when was the last time you went to one of your kids' games? You haven't. Oh, that must be hard. And so when that becomes, lots of times owners are, you know, they're kind of stubborn and persistent and determined, and they just kind of tolerate this. And then suddenly they have a place where they say it, they speak it out loud, and suddenly now it's not something they can ignore anymore. And they recognize, you know, something has to change.
I mean, I hate to keep saying these trite things, but I bet all these people are highly capable and have a track record of success, and therefore they're used to dealing with discomfort and pushing.
Yeah.
So it takes you to come in and to disrupt that gravity or that centrifugal force and say, hey, you said you want to go to a kid's game. Why don't you go to your kid's game?
Yeah. You know, you've captured the essence of it is that, and often the things that I ask them about are when they start considering it, they have a BFO, a blinding flash of the obvious, because once it becomes visible to them, once they see it, it's so plain and apparent, it's like, you know, the tip of the front of your nose. But until you actually have that breakthrough and see it, it's just fog.
Wrapped around the axle of your business.
Wrapped around the axle, yeah.
Makes me think about, you know, the tail wagging the dog versus the dog wagging the tail.
Yeah, that's another apt metaphor.
So the first step is recognizing, well, I don't know. It's that recognition, the blinding obvious fact, BOF, and then it's what?
Blinding flash to the obvious. Well, here's the thing. I don't like to say this out loud, because lots of business owners get upset with this when they first consider this idea, but all business coaching is personal coaching in disguise. So often the business owner thinks there's something about the business, systems, tools, or strategy in the business, but more often than not, it has to do with mindset or leadership skills or delegation skills, communication skills. And so it's often more of a mindset or a skills question than it is, you know, can we fix how we make these things, you know, some kind of process improvement. It generally starts more with how do I have to shift in how I think about things so that I can focus on the things that matter most. To give you an example of that, most business owners I work with, when I start with them, are doing 5 to 7 hours worth of work each week that they should not be doing. And the sort of provocative question I like to ask is, do you have a personal assistant? Do you have a virtual assistant? And the answer to that almost always is no. And then the response to that, well, you do have a virtual assistant. It's you, and you're not very good at it. In fact, you're crappy at it. And so most of this stuff, I'm going to use a phrase here. You've got, a business owner always has an oh shit list. What's an oh shit list? It's all the stuff that you think about when you have to do, and you say to yourself, oh shit. I have to do payroll, I have to do receivables, I have to invoice, I have to do estimating, I have to get proposals out. And those are all the things that business owners kind of dread, and they're the things they're doing at 10 o'clock or 2 days after it was due. And most of that, especially today in the world of AI, most of that can be done largely by someone else. Of course, the first 10%, you probably know, oh gosh, I can't think of the delegation 10-80-10 rule. 10%, the first 10% gives someone some direction. The next 80% lets someone else do that. The heavy lifting, the stuff that causes you to say, oh shit. And then the last 10% is when you can add your special sauce, your perspective, vet it, sign off on it. And so those are things that, as I described it to you, it seems so self-evident, but until you've actually confronted that or recognized, oh guy, yeah, there's a bunch of work I don't like doing, well, then stop. By the way, nowadays you can hire someone overseas or near shore, and they'll do it for $15 an hour. And guess what? They'll do it better than you. As good. I mean, better than you. And what do you get? You get 5 hours. You can go to a kid's game, or you can go see another client, you know, do something that's actually valuable for you or the business.
How often do these business owners have an appreciation for the value of their time?
When I meet them, very little. That's actually one of the big, big difficulties. Is they, you know, they often start with themselves and a truck, and they're an electrician, and they're doing everything, and maybe the spouse is helping, and then that becomes two trucks, three trucks, four trucks, five trucks. And they're still thinking of themselves as the technician and the I do electrician's work. And they never make the leap. No, no, you're an owner operator, and then you're a leader operator. And then eventually you're supposed to be an investor owner. How often is the owner of a McDonald's required to be in a restaurant? As little as they want. Well, what would have to be true for you for that to be true for you? Well, what do we have to do then in order to get you to a place where that becomes true? And the first step of that is to recognize, oh, I'm actually a business owner that just happens to do electrician's work. That's a very different perspective to have. You go from being the doer to being the leader of the business that does the doing.
The truest things are often the simplest and the most profound.
Right.
And so to make that shift and to start to recognize that their time is so valuable, and that it's okay to pay somebody to do those 5 to 7 hours of work and the oh shitless stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine that's a pretty big breakthrough.
Sorry to interrupt you. I once helped a business owner go from about 200,000 to about 1.2 million over the course of about 12 months. And every quarter, we had to redefine her job. That was what you did when it was 200,000. We're now at 600,000. What should you be doing more of? And as a result, you need to be doing less of something else. And how can we get someone to do that something else for you?
Is that something that it sounds like that would be a good practice to do pretty consistently, is to take a step back and the Steve Jobs look at the dots that you're connecting and say, okay, what's changed? We need to redefine our role here.
Yeah, definitely. One of the ways that I get owners to think about this is to do a time audit, to actually record what they do with their time on 15-minute increments over the course of a work week. And honestly, not many do, but it is very instructive for most business owners to actually document what they're doing with the time and to recognize how much of it they use ineffectively.
Is that just too micromanaging for people?
In what way?
That's a lot of them don't do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's tedious. You know, of course, you got to have a piece of paper and you're supposed to be filling it in. And most of the kinds of owners aren't very capable of doing that kind of a thing. So it's hard to do, which is why I've kind of created this hack called the oh shit list. Just tell me what's on that list. Every business owner can tell you that.
That's a great point right there. We're not needing to necessarily be so granular to go through every 15 minutes. Let's just start with the low hanging fruit.
Exactly. And that low hanging fruit changes over time. As you know, a metaphor I like to use is, let's say you're the captain of a boat in the Navy and that boat is 50 feet and the crew is 10 and the captain is the most qualified engine room guy. How often is that captain in the engine room? All the time. That captain is the engine room guy as well as the captain. Okay, well, let's make you a captain, 150-foot boat. Now the crew is 50. How often is that captain in the engine room with tools? Maybe if there's a fire, an emergency, because now he ought to have someone who manages the engine room on behalf of the boat, the crew, him. Now let's make you the captain of aircraft carrier, 2,000 people. How often is that captain in the engine room at all? Well, maybe to give somebody a 20-year service award or something like that, because that captain now has a guy who manages the guy who's the engine room guy. Well, you can see that's quite a shift in what that captain is thinking about doing and how they spend their time. And the shift is more from operating tools to leading the business and leading the people that are doing the work that's in the business. And that skill is something that you want to be very deliberate and proactive about. And it's not one that comes naturally or that you would recognize it organically.
Which certainly makes sense. What does a typical engagement look like for you? How much time are you spending with your clients?
Well, it's we spend an hour a week together. Each session produces a couple of hours worth of work. So a business owner ought to not just commit to meeting with me, but to have a meeting with themselves to implement, to execute, to do the things. I work on a handshake month-to-month basis. So unlike other coaches, I don't ask people to commit for 24 months or 12 months or something like that. It doesn't work that way. It only works when it's working. And I do that for that reason. Plus, taking on a business coach is a bit risky in lots of people's minds. So I'll just take the risk off the table. It's month to month. We can part company if it's not working. You're not signing up, so to speak, your firstborn.
Right. Which certainly makes sense. You know, if you're doing a good job, then they'll want to keep working with you. And
exactly.
If you're not, then they won't.
But what happens in practice is sometimes the engagements are about 6 months. We solve what I call a burning bush. We, solve payroll or solve cash flow or some dominating critical thing that's wrong in the business. And then the owner's kind of like, okay, well, the pain's kind of gone away, so I'm okay. But other times I work with owners for years where I become kind of their gray-haired mentor, advisor, board member, if I can put it that way. It sort of evolves over time.
When people ask you what you do, what do you say?
Well, the standard stock answer is I'm a business coach. But what I really do say is that I help business owners turn their business so they get the life they want. Yeah. And that usually provokes a bit of conversation. And of course, that's the point.
That is the point after all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that I could see where some people would think that's selfish, you know, that I'm in business to give me the kind of lifestyle that I want, but it's sort of the idea of I want to do well by doing good kind of a thing.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a paradox, and lots of people kind of recoil at the thought of that. And, you know, you're not going to describe it quite that way to your customers or your team members, et cetera. But it does provoke a fundamental question that causes change to happen. What's the purpose of your business? Well, right now the business is driving you crazy. It's not what you want the rest of your life. And so in that way, it's not very selfish. And it kind of, you know, the metaphor I like to use is, why is the adult told to put on the oxygen mask on yourself before you look after the infant? And that's the metaphor here, is you can't help anybody else if you're not, first of all, taking care of yourself.
That is the truth right there. Well, John, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Well, I'm easy to find, W5 Coaching. I told you about the Socratic method. So best way to help somebody is to help them work it out for themselves. And you do that because you help people think through stuff. And you do that because you're asking good questions. And the five core questions, I'll start with the W5 Coaching.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show John your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to W5coaching.com and dig into more of what John and I have been talking about. And I imagine that there's a button somewhere on the website that says meet with John or schedule a call.
It's easy to connect with me. Yeah, I'm not hard to find. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.